Neighboring Movement podcast. My name is Katherine Johnson, and I work here in our neighborhood in South Central Wichita. And I've had the chance to work with my colleague Elizabeth as she works with our Community Animator Network program. And so we're going to do an interview today with some of the participants from that. So, Elizabeth?
Yes, so I'm Elizabeth, Program Director for the Community Animator Network program. Last night, we actually did our last in-person workshop for our animator cohort that started last fall, and we've had people from all over Kansas, but also what's exciting about this cohort is that we had three people join us from Austin, Texas. And so we have them here today because we wanted them to share their perspective on what they've been up to. And so I'll let them introduce themselves and tell us a little bit about how they got started into neighborhood organizing and how long they've been into their current neighborhood.
For 4 years now, moved in about 6 months before the pandemic, and I started getting involved in my neighborhood just sort of through fun events and getting to know kind of my immediate neighbors. And then through the process of getting to know people and the area better, started getting more involved on a issue-based level. So things more like just learning what people's real passions and concerns and things like we're like in the community, and then finding ways to work with people to help address that.
My name is Eric. We've all lived in the same, or we all live in the same neighborhood, and I've lived there for the same amount Emily has. I got involved, I think, somewhere around the start of the pandemic. I started seeing that there was events going on, and just really wanted to get involved. So just really found a lot of sense of purpose and meaning, helping create just opportunities for neighbors to connect. And it's really, I've found a really beautiful group of friends and collaborators in the neighborhood. It's given me a lot of sense of meaning. And then one thing that's really been interesting as I've gotten more involved with the neighborhood is starting to see our neighborhood, and I think all neighborhoods, is kind of a microcosm of a lot of like dynamics and things that are playing out on a national level. And I can get very overwhelmed with the state of the world or the state of our country. And I can still get overwhelmed with the state of our neighborhood sometimes, but I have a stronger sense that I can actually make an impact, and that there's more of a relational element. It's not just theoretical, conceptual problems. It's like the people that I know and care about. So again, that's given me a real sense of meaning to plug into trying to make the world a better place through you know, helping our neighborhood.
My name's Melissa. As Eric said, live in the same neighborhood. I've been there about 5 years. Bought a house in fall 2017. And that first day that we moved in and the moving truck was out front, I think at least four of our neighbors came over and introduced themselves to us on our short little block. But then after that, those were the primary neighbors I knew for the first couple years that we were there. During the pandemic, started kind of going to some of the outdoor events that we had, and I think got connected with our safety team probably through our neighborhood Facebook group initially, and that was really where I started to get connected, learn more about the neighborhood as a whole, meet more people, and then realized that I went back and talked to those, you know, four original households, and they didn't know the other people in the neighborhood. They didn't know what was happening four streets away, but my experience has been so really deep, meaningful, what neighboring can be, that I think that's what's inspired me to keep working on it, is I would like other neighbors to have that same experience.
Yeah. So
that's great. That's so beautiful. Yeah, I think every time that we would meet on Zoom calls for the Community Animator Network conversations, it's always exciting to hear what you guys have been doing. And like, we believe that neighboring is a universal movement, hence our name. Like, it really is a movement. It's happening other places that it's popping up, and it's not because of us being in all of those spaces. And so there's that universality, but then there's also, it is contextual. You guys, it's looking different mm-hmm. sometimes where you are than where we are and where other listeners might be. And so I just think there's value in hearing each other's stories and hearing each other's challenges. And so that's why I wanted to have this conversation with you guys so that other people get to hear the cool stuff that you're doing. And I think it can spark creativity. And I also mm-hmm. think that it gives us perseverance and like helps our resilience when we hear like, okay, somebody else faced this challenge too, and they kept going, and there's good things in the end. So, yeah.
So we wanted to create a place where people could come together, people from all different backgrounds could come together, celebrate our area, get to know one another better, and find ways to get involved. And as we became more integrated with this concept of neighboring and of building local community, we came up with this concept of the Good Neighbor Fest, and our tagline was, "We're all neighbors," mm-hmm. Kind of representing that, you know, whether we like it or not, we're all very interconnected. Mm-hmm. What we do affects one another. Mm-hmm. That's at the hyper-local level, but you can expand those circles out, and it's true at the global level as well. Mm-hmm. And so we really wanted to just bring that, highlight that mentality, and create a place, create a space in our community where people could come together and just celebrate our area, celebrate our differences, you know, make, continue to form these bonds of trust with each other, because we felt like that trust was the foundation for a lot of community building work. So, yeah, so we started building Good Neighbor Fest, and we really wanted it to be a representation of our community, so not just something that, you know, we stood back and decided, oh, this would be cool or fun to have. Like, we wanted all the artists and performers to be local. We wanted the food providers to be local. We really just tried to source everything from within our community and have it be an outpouring of the assets that are available there. And so Eric and Melissa and I and our partner Stacy really were the front runners of this, and just kind of assembled this ragtag team and brought together resources from across our neighborhood. Like, literally, we were borrowing lawn furniture. We had this long list of all the neighbors donating their furniture, and we took a truck around from door to door to door and picked it up, and, you know, borrowing fans, and people were out there the morning of, like, decorating the trees with banners, and little kids were running around and setting up the water tanks. And it, in Texas, it's very hot even in September, so it was like almost 100-degree day, you know, and so putting up tents, and it was amazing. The turnout was much better than we expected. I think we had around 1,200 people, wow. About 50 vendors, a bunch of different performances, and all of these very intentional interactive spaces where people could get to know their neighbors better, and just really contemplate what it was they liked about the area, what their vision for the area was. And yeah, and then at the end, we were all completely exhausted, but our community came together and just showed up with their, you know, their trucks and their wagons, and just helped us break everything down and helped us get everything back to the houses where it was supposed to be. And we had a we had like a pizza party, and people were bringing food, and just, it was amazing to see everyone come out of the woodwork to really make the event a reality.
How long did this event take to plan?
Oh my gosh. at least 6 months. Yeah. We ended up pushing it back a little bit because it just kind of kept growing and growing as we were incorporating more elements. But yeah, I'd say 6 to 8 months. Mm-hmm. I think we're planning to do it again this year, and I think we'll be able to do it faster because we have some of the connections made. But the space where we had the event was at a church right across the street that has a really big field, and they gave us the space for free, and then we formed a connection with that church, and now they're one of our major partners in the community work we do, which is very exciting. And then our main financial sponsor was actually a neighbor who is a realtor and runs her own business. And so in that way, we were also really integrating with the community and supporting the local economy, which was awesome.
Yeah. Mm.
That's, I love that, that it's supported from within. That's mm-hmm. a gift. I also was curious on your website about the event, and I think you touched on it. I read about how, like, you had the community table, so where people would get food from, like, the food trucks or food vendors, and then they could actually eat together, which I love that idea. And then you had, like, talking prompts and ways that they could connect. And so, like, can you tell us examples of the... I mean, I'm thinking that could be useful. I also think that sometimes that's really awkward. And so did people really do it? And what was it like? And what were the questions like?
Yeah, I think the questions for the community table were a bit more food-based. Things like, what's the favorite meal you mm-hmm. remember eating growing up? Things like that. Our food vendors represented a lot of different cuisine styles. And it was hard to tell at the event if people were actually answering the prompts, but I did see a lot of people interacting at the table because it was just one long table with, you know, flowers and checkered tablecloths, and people really were talking and interacting and laughing. And we also had several other spaces set up throughout the event where people could intentionally gather. And so we had a space called the living room, which was literally an outdoor living room on the lawn with couches and rugs and lamps. And we had several guided discussions that were there. And then also throughout the space, we had seating areas with little card games that had prompts on them that people could ask each other. And I did see mm-hmm. a lot of people using yeah. those and yeah. using them with each other.
Yeah, I think a big part of what Good Neighbor Fest was for me is an experiment of, like, what does it take to get people connected yeah. and kind of break mm-hmm. through the barrier of going from strangers to going to people that actually are starting to form a sense of who the other person is and forming trust with them. So a lot of the stations and the things that we created was like, we're not really sure how this will work out. And yeah, some of them, though, we did get really positive feedback. The living room was one of them. And then also, it actually, surprisingly, something, we call it Connection Jenga. It's actually similar, kind of, not exactly the same, but every Jenga piece has, like, a prompt on it to kind of get to know each other. And I wasn't sure how it would work out, but it's actually, it was really successful at Good Neighbor Fest, and we've used it as multiple other events. So it's like that's something that feels like, okay, well, that works. Like, people really respond to it, all sorts of age groups and diverse folks. So it continues to be, it's Good Neighbor Fest was even a microcosm of a larger kind of ongoing experiment, and that's something that the neighboring movement has actually brought to my awareness, I think, a lot more, this idea of mini experiments and being free to fail. And I've really integrated that, and I talk about that much, much more these days, trying to really integrate that way of being, like, this is just an experiment, like, what is working, and, like, what, you know, how does this feel? Does it give me, you know, as you would call it, way opening? Is it a way opening experience? Is it a way closing experience? Adopting that mentality has really been beneficial for me.
Sounds like you guys created a lot of opportunities for people to connect.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, people were able to, like, I love that there were prompts there just for, like, just in case if people really needed, some of us are more social than others. And I love the questions about food mm-hmm. because I feel like mm-hmm. everybody has a preference on right. food. Everybody can, like, remember stories about food and growing up and what their favorites was, and which makes it, like, really individualized and gets you to know people a little bit more. Mm-hmm. Like, my dish growing up might be a lot different yeah. than your guys' mm-hmm. dish growing up. Mm-hmm. And that tells you a little bit about my childhood, and I learned a little bit about your childhood. Mm-hmm. And it's, like, not too vulnerable,
yeah.
but it's also, like, very personal, like, a personable question. Talk about neighbors connecting. So like, to get this fest to, like, happen, so the neighbors pitching in with their chairs, it sounds like there was furniture that was maybe, like, borrowed for the living room mm-hmm. to happen, or different areas, did you guys feel like you guys were the main connectors for that to come and happen, to bring people together, since you guys were leading this event?
I would say so. Us and then Stacy, who worked with us, definitely were the main organizers and connectors. But then we also have several people in our neighborhood who, like, our neighbor Ashley was the one who did a lot of the boots on the ground organizing of the furniture. So we then, you know, kind of had people who were our right-hand people who helped us out. And I also forgot to mention, we also had something called social butterflies at the event, neighbors. We bought literal, like, butterfly wings, put them on, and then they walked around the festival and just engaged with people and participate in different activities. We had different lawn games and just fun things for people to do.
I don't know if I'd be a social butterfly, but if I had wings to wear, I mean, I think I might. I think it'll come out of me.
As much as I love people and love connecting with people and care about them, that is not my thing. I felt even awkward. It's like asking people to put them. I was like, this is so, like, it could be cringy or something, but it went so well. And the people that volunteered for it, I was like, I am so grateful, and it's so beautiful, like, the role that you're playing and the gift that you're giving to this event. But it's like, absolutely not a strength that I have. Absolutely not. I'm so awkward with that type of thing. So.
Well, if you had butterfly wings, that's your talking point.
I don't know. That's special stuff. But yeah, but no, people did it really, really beautifully. I was very grateful for that.
Yeah, everybody you offered the wings to, you said it's optional. You don't have to wear them. Oh, no, we're wearing them. We're wearing them. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, because then it makes you, like, you're the identified social butterfly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, I would totally wear them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it sounds like each of you had connections so it expanded. So you had, like, a network of support. So it was like it started out as four people, but really it was like you knew someone who had this, and then you talked to this person, but then somebody else was able to reach out to the person that they know.
Yeah.
Was that kind of how it all ended up leading up to it and even to the event happening?
Yeah, I would say so. And it is interesting. One of the big learnings for us that we're still trying to integrate is how to create kind of, like, I don't know if it's walk the line or the, like, engage with the tension of, like, having a vision, wanting to be like initiate something, but it not to just be our own thing. Like, what are the like factors that really create the environment for people to plug in the way that they actually want to plug in and, like, see, you know, just create their own parts of it. And that it's a tricky thing that I can't quite describe, but it happened, I think, to some degree with the living room conversation. The pastor who led it, she already had, like, kind of a dream of wanting to have community conversations. Mm-hmm. So that's what's really, really meaningful to me, is creating kind of the infrastructure for people to plug in their own way, like what they're passionate about, like what wants to emerge from them. But yeah, one of the learnings was, I think we do have more, as we do it in the future, trying to grow a bit more in creating more of an invitation for people to play, instead of it being, not that we wanted to control, we didn't want, but it's like, it does take vision casting and relationship building and trust, and then making invitations, and even, like, from a project management or a coordination level, it is a little bit tricky. Partly even because people just want to, it's like, tell me what you would like, I want to help you, because, and it's like, oh no, but it's just like, what do you want, and how can we, really tricky and delicate, but yeah, that's something that I'm still exploring with.
Something that was cool on the day of is seeing people spring into action and take on responsibilities that they weren't asked to do. So we had a parking problem at one point. There was no parking left, and some people who had agreed to volunteer but not in that capacity just grabbed walkie-talkies and went out to the parking lot and were directing people. You know, other neighbors who just came and attended the event, hadn't agreed to volunteer, saw what was going on, then at the end went back, grabbed their truck, and came back and was like, hey, we want to help you break down, you know? And it was just like, it was really cool to see that happening. It was like people being intrinsically motivated to give in a way that felt good to them without being asked to do it, you know, and without getting any kind of like tangible payment or reward from it. It's just like, it was very organic in that way.
Yeah, people wanted to contribute. And there was a space there.
We talk about culture of contribution, so I feel like that's a good illustration of how that just unfolded.
Do you feel like, quick question, do you feel like there's been new connections made? So you had initial connections, was there more that came out of that?
I'm getting more credit for Good Neighbor Fest than I really deserve.
I don't know.
I was more more of a volunteer, maybe a, you know, volunteer in it leading up to and then on the day of. But I, while Eric and Emily and Stacy had to run around and be managing a lot of things, I got to be at the info booth pretty much the whole time and get to hear from people who were coming over and saying, like, oh, they weren't even from necessarily North Austin, but they were really interested in this concept and wanted to integrate some of these things into their own neighborhoods. But also in the process of leading up to recruiting volunteers, some people that we hadn't met before, we tried to coordinate with the other neighborhood associations that are in North Austin. And I certainly made a lot of new connections with our neighboring neighborhoods through that, through Good Neighbor Fest. And then I ran into people I haven't seen in a really long time while I was there, which was also kind of fun.
Yeah.
I would say from an organizer perspective, because on the day of, we were running around like chickens with our heads cut off. Like, it was insane, sweating through our shirts. It was not pretty. But from an organizer perspective, I feel like where we made a lot of connections was with the local business community, them coming in as vendors and sponsors, the church, like I said, that was a huge connection we made because of Good Neighbor Fest, and now there's so many cool things springing up with them. And then other groups, like a local newspaper, a local group that does civic engagement classes, people were coming up to us and saying, hey, can we partner with you? Can we write about you? We like what you're doing. So I think there were a lot of kind of higher level connections made from an organizer perspective.
That's great. I'm excited to see what happens this coming year.
Us too. We have not started planning it yet, so we'll see.
8 months
September timeline?
Wow, I am inspired. This conversation has been great and definitely a lot of stories of abundance. So we decided to pause here and leave you all in suspense. And we'll be back with part two of this conversation in the next episode. So until then, happy neighboring.